The Word of God for our consideration today, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 22, previously read. In the name of Jesus, on whom God has built his church, dear fellow redeemed. Over the past 3 weeks, our worship services have been following the theme, the church God wants. In other words, rather than thinking about what we want at a church, maybe a little more leg room, maybe a little brighter light, oh, a little brighter lights. Rather than thinking about what we want, we're focused on what God wants. And over the last 3 weeks, we've learned that what God wants in his church is a church that's quick to forgive, a church that is willing to say hard things, and a church that carries its crosses. Well, today we see that God also wants a church that is for all people. The question is, how does God find that church? Does he go church shopping? Does God visit different churches to see if they've got what he's looking for? Is maybe God scouting out Mount Olive right now? Actually, God doesn't shop for his church. Rather, he builds his church. How does God build his church? Well, that's what our text for today is all about. Our theme is simply this: how God builds his church. We'll see first, he breaks down walls. Secondly, he lays the foundation. And finally, he joins people together. Our text for today is taken from a portion of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, ancient Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And like many of the congregations that the Holy Spirit planted across the Mediterranean world in those days, this congregation had people of either Jewish background or Gentile background. Now, I wonder if maybe we don't always appreciate how maybe challenging that was for a Christian congregation back then. I mean, you realize that for centuries, Jews looked at Gentiles as unclean. You don't hang out with them. You don't eat with them. In fact, Jews would call them dogs. There's a reference to that in our gospel reading. The uncircumcised, because in part, they were not following the Old Testament rules and regulations that Moses handed down. And so even in a congregation, a Christian congregation, where there were Gentile converts, there was maybe some tension between these two groups. It would be easy for the Gentiles, or rather the Jews, to kind of look down their noses at the Gentiles, or the Gentiles to feel like they were being judged or excluded or even condemned in some way. In fact, you remember a couple weeks ago with our epistle reading where the Apostle Paul had to confront Peter for shunning the Gentiles when he was in the presence of the Jews. And you can see why this kind of friction might develop. I mean, you had two very different groups of people, one that had this long tradition of biblical rules and ceremonies. And on the other hand, you had this group that was basically pagan. They had lifestyles that were anything but God-pleasing. And so it's not hard to imagine that there might be a little tension, a little friction between these groups, even animosity. One group thinking, what are those people doing here with us in God's house? And the other group thinking, yeah, I wonder, do we really fit here with all these religious people? Now, maybe you and I don't struggle with the difference between Jews and Gentiles today. So let me give you a little more modern parallel. Let's imagine you're sitting in church and a lady comes down and sits next to you and you don't recognize her. She must be a guest. And so you introduce yourself and she introduces herself to you and you realize that by the depth of her voice that she is really a he. You're sitting next to a transgender person. What's going through your mind? What are you feeling at that point? Are you thinking, what is she or he or whatever here? They don't belong here. And so immediately your walls, your mental walls kind of go up. And how long does it take for that person to realize that your mental wall has just gone up? And they're thinking that you're judging them. You're thinking they don't belong here at all. My friends, that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about today. He's talking about how God can take two very different people from very different backgrounds and unite them into one family, God's family. How does God do that? Well, he does it first by having Jesus break down walls. In reference to the wall between the Jews and Gentiles, Paul says this, "For he himself, Jesus, is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." What does that mean? Well, you maybe remember that in the Old Testament, God gave to Moses a set of regulations that were designed to, in effect, build a wall around the nation of Israel to kind of keep them separate from all the heathen influences all around them until the time that the Messiah would arrive. And that list of rules and regulations, like here's what you eat, here's what you don't eat, here's how you worship, got to be circumcised, those were all meant to just drill into their minds, we are different. We are God's covenant people. But when the Messiah finally arrived on the scene to be the savior of all nations, well, then the need for this wall disappeared. In fact, Jesus could then tear it down. How did he do that? Well, Paul tells us, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. In other words, when Jesus took on flesh, when he became a human, as a Jew, he allowed himself to be circumcised. He observed the Sabbath day. He celebrated the Passover. In fact, he kept every one of those Old Testament ceremonial and civil laws. But once he had kept them all, he could say, now, you don't have to. They don't apply anymore in the New Testament. In fact, that's exactly what Paul said to the Colossians. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Paul said kind of the same thing when he wrote to the Galatians. There is now neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, the barriers that used to separate people and what maybe gave the Jews a reason to look down their noses at the Gentiles, or for that matter, men to feel like they're superior to women or whites to feel like they're better than blacks, Jesus says, no, you are now all equal. I've made you all part of one body. That's what Paul means when he says that Jesus' purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Peace between humans. But notice he goes on to say, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. That's a critical point. The way that God makes peace between segments of society is by first making peace between them and God. Or to put it another way, the walls that separate people are taken down when the wall that separates us from God is taken down. And what is the wall that separates all mankind from God? It's our sin. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin has hidden his face from you. And so to relieve that separation, to kind of bridge the gap between a holy God and an unholy mankind, what did Jesus do? He absorbed every sin that anybody has ever committed into his body, carried it to the cross, was punished by his Father in our place, so that now we're not separated from God anymore. We're reconciled to God. Or as Paul puts it, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. By one Spirit. In other words, it's when the Holy Spirit worked faith in your heart through the Word or through the sacrament that you gained access to your Father 24/7. Paul goes on to explain what that access looks like when he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. In other words, you're not on the outside anymore. It's not like you don't fit in anymore. Now, you are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. You might say that's the first way that God builds his church, by knocking down these walls. Secondly, he lays a foundation. Paul says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. What? Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. What does that mean, that God builds his church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Does that mean that a lot of the bones of saints are buried under ancient churches? No. He's not talking about building his church on people. He's talking about building his church on what people were inspired to write down in the pages of Holy Scripture by the inspiration of the Spirit. Right? The term the apostles and prophet is really a synonym for the Old and New Testament scriptures. In other words, God builds his church not on personalities, not on programs, not on what people think or political correctness. He builds it on the inspired, inerrant Word of God. You realize what that means? It means that God's church will always speak the truth from his Word. Yep, the truth about sin, how it destroys lives on both sides of the grave, but more importantly, the truth about what God has done about sin in his Son, our Savior. Jesus becomes the cornerstone of the church. It's his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, his righteousness that covers our sins and gives us confidence that we are redeemed, restored, and forgiven in the eyes of our Father in heaven. Isn't it that fact that God builds his church on a foundation of his Word? Isn't that why Mount Olive spent so much time trying to ground people in God's Word, whether it's through a biblical sermon or the fact that this week we have four different Bible classes led by pastors who've been trained in the original languages, or that this month there are dozens and dozens of small groups that will gather together around God's word to apply it to their lives, or that we'll this week offer two different reading programs, Bible reading programs, one in the YouVersion, one in Facebook, to allow people to have another bite of the bread throughout the week. See, this is how God builds his church. He builds his church by breaking down walls, by laying a foundation in his word, and finally, by joining people together. Isn't that what Paul says? In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises. In other words, literally, it grows to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Isn't that just a beautiful picture? That here's God building this temple, this living, breathing temple, this holy temple, this place where he dwells. And you realize the temple is you. And when God says he joins them together, the Greek word here is the same word that was used when they would take the blocks of the temple and join them with drill holes and drill, put rods through them and fill them in with lead, all to connect them to each other, to support one another, so the next row could be laid on top. So all those blocks were supporting other blocks. Huh. Isn't that what God wants his church to be? He wants us to be connected to each other. Not only founded on a firm foundation, but also joined to each other, supporting each other through the ups and downs of life in a real world, life in a broken world. Maybe that means picking somebody up when he's fallen, physically or spiritually. Maybe it means sharing a word of encouragement or comfort from God's word for somebody who's hurting, who just lost a loved one. Maybe it means just laughing and just enjoying the gifts that God has given us as members of his family. This is what comes with God building his church. God breaks down the walls between us and God, and us and us. God lays a foundation of his word, and God joins us together as members of his family. In fact, you might say that when God builds his church, then we become a family, growing in Christ. Imagine that. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Mount Olive, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.